The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain shall and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Our last few Sundays preached, the day of the Lord is coming. As the text has said, the coming day of the Lord brings healing for those who fear God's name, but for the arrogant and evildoer, that day brings destruction. It's been difficult hearing those texts, confronting our sinful nature with God's wrath on sin can leave us unsettled. Unsure about our standing with God, without mercy, without comfort, without peace. But today is the third Sunday in Advent, which is called Gaudete Sunday. The rose-colored candle was lit this morning, indicating this day brings something different. Gaudete is Latin for rejoice, which begins our introit today. The penitential tones of Advent are quieted for a moment, allowing us to rejoice in the graciousness of our God. For our King comes to comfort his people, to reveal himself in glory, and despite our frailty of human sinful flesh, our Lord's promises are eternally strong. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God, begins Isaiah chapter 40. The previous chapters in Isaiah preach about God's will and how the Israelites have fallen short of it. The Babylonian exile was the Israelites' punishment, which was when the Babylonians took the Israelites out of their promised land. And this was a scene of judgment. The unrighteous, which led to the Babylonian exile, will certainly be punished. Yet there's a switch turned on in the beginning of Isaiah chapter 40. A message of comfort, a message of hope, of what's to come in the future. A message for the post-exile Israelites who come back to Jerusalem. The Lord spoke comfort to his people because her warfare is ended. That is, the time of the Babylonian captivity would eventually be over, and God would bring his people back to their promised land. He spoke comfort because her iniquity was pardoned. That is, her sins had been atoned for in the sight of God, who is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, who used divine discipline not to punish eternally, but to guide his people to realize their great need for God. And finally, God spoke comfort to his people, having given a double portion, an abundance of blessings in regard to the mass amount of sin she's committed. This is cause for us to rejoice. For our Lord deals graciously with his rebellious nation, his rebellious people, whose hearts are made of stone. How much more graciously does our Lord deal with you? We rejoice in the Lord always. For he forgave the iniquity of his people and covered all their sin. He spoke peace to his saints and let them not turn back to their folly. We also rejoice for the straightening out of our iniquities. A voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." The Hebrew word for iniquity indicates something that's twisted and bent out of shape, uneven, if you will. It's uneven like hills and valleys. So this voice, this messenger in the wilderness who prepares the way of the Lord, is tasked to do what? To make straight in the desert a highway for our God. To straighten out the iniquities of a nation. That means to preach repentance of sin. To straighten out the sins of the people so that the coming of the Lord may save us. This messenger is John the Baptist, who turns the hearts of men back to God their Father, who administers a baptism of repentance, who points God's people to the revealed glory, which is Christ, her Lord. Blessed is this messenger, whose flesh and blood birth tops all other births. Yet the new birth received in the waters of baptism, which ushers us into the heavenly kingdom, puts all others who receive it, like you and me, even greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist brings the message of the coming revealed glory of the Lord. In Advent, we anxiously await the coming glory of the Lord in the infant Jesus. This child is our Emmanuel, our God with us. He comes to atone for the sin of an entire world and to bless his people beyond what their sins should allow for. He comes to speak comfort, for he atones for our sins in his flesh and his blood. He ends our warfare with sin and death, ushering us from the slavery of chains to freedom, to the bliss of paradise. All this accomplished in a life-saving, life-giving cross. His words of comfort for his people flow from the cross when he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Today, you will be with me in paradise. I thirst. It is finished. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. These words of comfort are spoken from God himself, who assumes flesh and takes on the double portion of punishment for your sins. He exchanges your sin for his righteousness, giving you a double portion of his blessings, which we receive in Holy Word and holy sacraments. For this we rejoice. Finally, we rejoice for the enduring promises of God. All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the Lord's breath blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Our flesh is weak and frail. It's only alive and flourishing for a season of time, but then withers away. Our Lord's promises are not so. God's promises are stronger than our flesh. God's word, both law and gospel, is more eternal than our life. Our lives are but a speck of dust in human history. But the words of comfort, which is spoken by our Savior on the cross, is eternal. The words he speaks through his messengers are eternal too. Like, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. These promises of our Lord are stronger than flesh. Stronger than sin. Stronger than Satan himself. And these words are for you. For your children, and for your children's children, and all who are far off. Rejoice and be glad. Your flesh and blood King comes to you now, but also will come to you. That's his promise. And his promises aren't weak, frail, and temporary like our flesh, but they're eternal and strong to save. Thanks be to God. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.